If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 7. The title of the sermon, as you can see, is Truth or Consequences. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm, with an emphasis on that last part. Understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. They have strayed away from the truth. Paul is giving this warning to Timothy to warn the church that they can't stray away from the truth. And there's folks out there that'll help you stray away, is what he's saying as I summarize the scripture. Well, you know, the title of the sermon, Truth or Consequences, of course, we think of an old television show called Truth or Consequences. I know most of us are too young in here to remember that show, but it was pretty good on television. There's a lot of other TV shows, those old shows like I've Got a Secret, remember that one? Or What's My Line? As a kid, I really loved that show, Queen for a Day. I don't know why, we just loved to watch Queen for a Day. It was so neat. See some poor woman that get all these wonderful prizes. It was great. And then, you know, who could forget Let's Make a Deal? Another very popular show for many years. But when you think about this one on Truth or Consequences, Truth or Consequences, it was originally a radio show. And it started out in 1940 as a radio show. It was led by a guy named Ralph Edwards. And later on television, for almost 20 years, you can see his picture there, Bob Barker was the guy on TV with Truth or Consequences. Then later, for a couple of years, Bob Hilton and then Larry Anderson. The show was also broadcast on NBC and CBS, and later it was in syndication. The ideal or the theme of the show was to mix the original quiz element of a quiz show with some kind of a goofy or wacky stunt that would occur during the course of the show. So the contestants were asked to give an answer to a question, and they had 2 or 3 seconds to beat Bertha the buzzer. Or otherwise, if they haven't given the truth, so to speak, that they would face consequences. And generally, the consequence was some zany, embarrassing stunt that we applied. So it's either you get the truth or you're going to have consequences. Today, there is a war on truth. There's a war on truth. And we are seeing the destructive and the damaging consequences to a society, to our nation, spiritually, culturally, and yes, even politically, because we're rejecting the truth. Now, I want to begin today by this first point, and that is that God has always been about giving warnings. He gave warnings to His children in the Old Testament. He gives warnings to us today. Even people of faith often struggle to grasp the truth. That's why Paul was writing these words to his associate, Timothy. He says, teach no other doctrine. He's saying, stay with the main thing. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay with that message that Jesus saves. He came and He gave His life. Stay with that doctrine. Teach no other doctrine, he is saying. But he points out folks have gotten off into idle talk. A lot of just nonsense. He says there's some teachers there. They don't understand what they're teaching. They don't even know the things they're affirming. Believe me, not only was that happening in Paul and Timothy's time in the New Testament, this may shock some of you, it's still happening today. There's still some folks out there don't have any idea what they're talking about, but they're out there telling anybody that will listen. For example, anybody remember this fellow? His name was Bob Tilton. At the height of his fame and popularity back in the early 90s, this guy was raking in $80 million a year. $80 million a year with his TV show called Success in Life. Do you think he was a prosperity preacher? Yes, he was. Success in Life. And he was also pastoring a church here in Farmers Branch. It was called the Word of Faith Family Church. And he was peddling his prosperity gospel. He made this claim. Listen to his claim. He claimed to be the prophet of prosperity, the architect of abundance, and the instructor of increase. Let that just sink in for a minute. He was nothing more than a babbler of bullcorn. I'm being kind when I say that. He urged folks to buy his book. He had this book. Now, the title of this book is going to shock you. How to Be Rich and Have Everything You Ever Wanted. Does that shock some of you? How to Be Rich and Have Everything You Ever Wanted. Now, this is the neat part. You could get his book for free. You didn't have to pay for it. But once you got that book, once you ordered that free book, you're on that mailing list. And you get an onslaught of gimmicky, urgent mail designed to get you to write those checks and get those donations flowing to Brother Bob, urgent mail, so we could get that money. Many of you may remember that ABC's Diane Sawyer did a report on a show called Primetime. And in that report, she disclosed that there were thousands and thousands of prayer requests that were never read. They would come in with the checks, and the prayer requests, they actually showed them in the dumpsters. They were all thrown into the dumpsters outside his ministry, and of course they took all the checks out of them and put them in the bank immediately. That expose on Diane Sawyer's AB show led to other investigations, and finally his church closed, was shut down, and he left town. But he didn't give up, you understand, because he showed up just a little bit later in Florida, and he had the same gimmicks. He had his third wife this time, and this time with his third wife, at the end of the show, they'd always have their poodles on the show with them. It was quite a show. Amazing. Now, this time in Florida, his income fell down quite a bit. He was only getting $30 million a year this time instead of $80 million a year. But this babbler of bullcorn, he continued. Even as late as 2020, he was still live streaming his so-called worship services from a hotel room in Culver City, California. He'd come on once a month, and he was still urging everybody to be successful by just sending more money to Brother Bob. And he had his P.O. box set up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just like he'd done when he was still having this ministry in Dallas. Why in the world would people send money to this guy, guys like him? Why would they do that? And I'll tell you, there's many others just like them. In fact, I've got an image of what those other guys look like. Go back here. Well, I thought I had that image, but it was out of order. We'll have it in a minute, I'm sure. I'm looking at my notes now. We're going to go on with that scripture. Praise God. I asked the question, why would folks send that money? Why would they do that? You've asked that question yourself. Why would folks write those checks and send it in? It's because they're deceived. It's because they don't know the truth. Because they're gullible. Because they're desperate. Because they're uninformed. Because they don't read the Bible. And because they're foolish. God gives the warnings. He gives the warnings even today to us if we'll pay attention. In Galatians, you see the scripture, chapter 1, 6 through 7, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are still those in the world, in this world today, that are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 and 3, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed by covetousness." That's what Brother Bob was doing. By covetousness. Getting you the things that you want. Somebody else has got them. I want those things. They will exploit you with deceptive words, and for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. There's other warnings in the Word of God. You'll see this in 1 John 4 and 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Are y'all hearing this today? "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We have changed our sign out here. If you noticed, the sign out in front of the church says, "Real eyes realize real lies." You got that? Real eyes, spiritual eyes realize real lies. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. The Word of God gives us the insight to understand the lies that are out there, the guidance of God's Word. And God's Word is so powerful in this other scripture in Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you." Let me just stop right there. The Word of God is something we should treasure. We should love. We read it. We receive it. "We treasure my commands," his commands within us, "so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." You notice the call to action in this word. It says we should receive his words. We should incline our ear. We should treasure the Word of God. That we want to apply it to our hearts. We want to lift our voice of understanding. We should seek her as silver. It causes us to take action, to long for and to aggressively seek the truth from the Word of God. And if we do that, the Word of God says that we'll come knowledge and understanding and discernment, and we won't be fools because we'll be grounded in the Word of God, and we won't be taken in by folks like Bob Tilton and others are out there selling the latest thing so they can do nothing more than make themselves rich. So we realize this first point today, God, when it comes to truth or consequences, he's given us warnings, isn't he? He's letting us know that there's warnings out there. If you don't embrace truth, you will face consequences. Amen? Amen. Now, part of the problem in America today and in the world today, there's so many lies out there. Lies that will destroy. Lies that will destroy. We're going to break it down and look at it a little bit closer this morning. Our secular progressive culture has embraced lies that will destroy us. Our culture has embraced lies that will destroy us because they are from the father of lies. They're from the enemy of our souls. They're from the great deceiver, Satan himself. And I'm going to break down and give you some examples of the lies that I'm speaking of that are destroying our culture and our nation right before our eyes. The first one, you're familiar with it. My body, my choice. You've heard that, haven't you? The second day after Donald Trump spoke and accepted the oath of office to become the President of the United States, the very next day, you may remember, 2017 in January, there was a women's march on Washington. It really wasn't a women's march because they refused to allow all women to participate. If you were a pro-life woman, you could not be a part of that march. They only wanted the folks that was out there in favor of this my body, my choice. My body, my choice is a lie from the pit of hell. It covers up the reality of the decision to abort a baby. It completely denies the existence of a living baby and the rights of the most vulnerable. It's more than just their body, the woman's body. It's the body of an unborn child, but the lie of the words, my body, my choice, avoids that unpleasant truth. They don't want to talk about that. They just want a little shortcut to say what they want to do. Sadly, fear drives this lie. Fear in a woman with an unexpected pregnancy that believes the only way out of it is an abortion. These women are concerned that, oh, my life may be ruined and I don't have the support I've got to have and I don't know what I'm going to do, so I can take the easy choice and just abort this baby. You know, it's my body, it's my choice. And somehow they feel good about that. Selfishness also drives this lie. Men and women, they want the pleasure of sexual intimacy, but they run from the commitment or the duty that comes with the responsibility of creating a child and being a parent. The church must fight against this cultural lie. The church must come alongside these women that are in problem pregnancies, just like Hope Women's Center does here in McKinney that we support, to care for the unborn, to care for the mother, to show them the love of Christ, that Jesus is the only hope and the only answer, whatever they're facing. That child in them is created in the image of God from the moment of conception, and that woman should be a godly woman that wants to glorify God with their bodies and with that life that's growing in their body. What an incredible lie it is that's destroying our nation. Then there's another lie. It's the lie of evolution and the Big Bang Theory. The proponents of evolution and a godless beginning of the universe, do you realize that ideal? You know, it is a godless theory. We understand that. That very ideal has a stranglehold on education, on media, and every part of our culture. This lie, this ideal of evolution of the Big Bang Theory, this lie denies that there is a creator. This lie cannot adequately explain the origin of life. It can't explain the incredible complex design of living systems such as the human body and mind. The theory of evolution cannot explain how dead stuff became living. They can't even explain where stuff came from. They have no idea where it came from. The lie of evolution, the Big Bang Theory, it creates an incredible amount of damage to our children being indoctrinated. They're being indoctrinated with this theory, this lie that's presented to them in school just as if it was a fact. It is not a fact. It is a theory and it is a lie from the pit of hell. I think if we're just this product of a giant explosion, think about it. We're not, God didn't create us. We're just this product of some giant explosion. We're a product of just this chain of mutations that occurred. See, if you believe that nonsense, then it's only logical to reason that there is no design, there is no purpose to our lives, there are no ethical obligations, there are no moral issues, there are no basis of hope. There's nothing beyond our daily existence. I'm telling you, that is a lie. It is designed to move us away from our faith in the one true God, our Creator. Our Heavenly Father is the Creator of this universe. We are the product of His purposeful design and creation. And praise God, we have a Savior. We have hope. We have a purpose. We have a future because of our faith in Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. Then there's this other big lie that you know about, lies about sexuality and marriage. You know, the Bible gives us the straight answers on these subjects. It's so clear and straightforward. If folks would just pay attention to what the Bible tells us. In Genesis 1, 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. What's that next part? Male and female He created them. How do we get so far off the truth Male and female. There's only two genders. You're a man or you're a woman. In fact, that's affirmed even further by Jesus in Matthew 19, 4 and 6. Jesus saying, haven't you read? He replied that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. We got it twice, don't we? They're male and female. And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. We'll stop right there. Jesus didn't say a man's going to be united with a man. It didn't say a woman's going to be united with a woman. It says a man is going to be united with a woman that'll be his wife, and they'll become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder or to separate. Now, the Word of God, that's not something. Well, now, what does God really mean? You know what God means when He says those things. It's just black and white. It's just clear. We understand it. The Bible gives us the truth about sexuality. The Bible gives us the truth about marriage. And it has been the standard for defining gender and for defining marriage and sexuality for generation after generation and century after century. But the enemy knows if he can destroy what God has ordained, the enemy knows if he can destroy the very building blocks of culture, marriage, gender identity, sexuality, if he can do that, he'll destroy God's creation. And you remember, the purpose of the enemy is to kill and to steal and to destroy. So today, in the United States of America, just 7 years ago, we had the highest court in the land give us the new definition of marriage. Marriage is now between two men or two women, or between heterosexual couples. All applies. That is now the legal definition handed down by the Supreme Court regarding marriage. Somebody should have told them that the judge of the universe had already ruled, and that he had already made that declaration according to the Word of God that we have just seen today. There will be a man and there will be a woman, and they will be united in marriage. But the world believes the lie, don't they? The world believes the lie, and it's creeping and creeping and creeping further and further into the lies, into the culture of folks in America. And you know, it's not enough that we're now having same-sex marriage. No, now we've got to have this new discussion and embrace transgenderism. You know, it's the new sexuality. It's the new thoughts. Why, it's even to the point that our president, President Biden, has commanded that our schools and our universities allow transgenders to use the bathroom according to their new gender identity, to use the shower and all the other things. If I just, you know, if I'm a boy, I was born a boy, but you know, I think God made a mistake. I'm supposed to be a girl. So I'm going to start pretending to be a girl and wear girl's clothing. And then I'm going to go into the girl's locker room. I'm going to go into the girl's shower. I'm going to go in the girl's restroom. And everything's going to be okay because that's my new gender identity. I identify now as somebody else. Do you realize that the leadership of the teachers' unions in America want to indoctrinate our little elementary school children? They want to indoctrinate those school children so that they can choose their own identity. We need to teach these kids, these boys and girls, that they have other choices. They can be both. They can be boy and girl. They can be one or the other. They can be a boy pretending to be. I mean, we've got 57 different gender identities now. It's LGBTQ, ABCDEFG. Who knows how far it goes? It just goes on and on. Folks, it's all a lie. It's a lie. We either have the truth or we have consequences. We've rejected the truth, and the consequences are we're destroying the foundation of our culture. Marriages are being destroyed. The sense of sexuality and identity is being twisted and deformed, and the devil is winning because we're not embracing the truth. Evil wins when God's truth is lost. It's lost in the darkness of deceit and lies that the enemy. And it's inf- filtering and saturating and changing every part of this nation and the world. Those lies are doing that. You realize today that college professors and many of our universities, they can't call students men or women. They can't call them boys or girls. They can't reference them as he or she without creating offense. So the kids, this is crazy, the kids determine their gender identity and the pronouns that the professors have to use. One professor got in trouble because she refused to use the appropriate pronoun for a fellow pretending to be a girl, didn't call it her, called it him, and got called before the leadership of the school, almost got herself fired, had to apologize and say all this nonsense because she didn't use the right pronoun. Folks, our society is in chaos. It is in chaos because we've turned our backs on God. We've turned our backs on the Word of God. We have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Isaiah warned us in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're doing that very thing right now in this nation. We're saying something that's evil and an abomination before God. We're saying, oh, this is good. It's okay. We're saying the very thing that God has ordained is truth. We're saying, oh, don't be so narrow. Don't be so evil. Don't be so wicked. So continue to look at, we've looked at God's warning. We looked at the lies that destroy. There's another section we're going to look at today, and that's lies that lead to a watered down Christianity. There's a lot of lies out there that are influencing and affecting the church. And one of those lies that is changing the thought process of many Christians is this next lie. All roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to heaven. Don't y'all know that? Sherry and I visited just about 5 years ago when we were in Washington, D.C., the beautiful Washington Cathedral. Magnificent structure. Many of you probably have seen it. We're touring the Washington Cathedral, and the tour guide goes out of her way and says it more than once to make sure we understand that this is not just a place for Christians, that Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and Christians all gather and worship in the Washington National Cathedral. Now, it wasn't originally built for all that, but that's changed. That's this ideal. They even bragged about, oh, we always have these wonderful, beautiful interfaith services here in this National Washington Cathedral. It's the popular, it's the acceptable understanding of our culture that there is no one truth. There's no one way to heaven. Our society and the media partners that go in lockstep with the secular progressive ideals, they're constantly promoting this notion that all religions are really the same, that all roads lead to heaven. How could you be so narrow to think otherwise? It's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus said in John's Gospel, you know this verse, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, if you say that out loud, if you say the truth out loud, they'll think you're a nut. That's how sad it is in our nation today. If you say that out loud, they'll say, how could you be so narrow? And she says, well, I didn't say it. Jesus did. Either he is the Son of God and it's truth, or he's a liar, or he's insane. That's how people, you got to make your choice. I believe he's the Son of God and it's the truth. How about you? Yeah, amen. Millions and millions believe the lie. They believe that all these other roads lead to heaven. Just be good and believe what you believe and everything will be okay. And they don't understand that they will be forever separated from a loving and holy Heavenly Father and Creator because they believe the lie. It's truth or consequences. Amen. You embrace the truth or there's consequences. And what's so sad is that there are many contemporary Christians and pastors and churches that are now embracing this lie. Another lie that's out there, the folks accepting some aspect of other false religions. It won't harm our Christian walk. It won't harm our testimony. We can embrace other forms of other religions. Sadly, the Bible reminds us of what happens when folks do that. The children of Israel did that. They begin to intermarry with other people and false religions, and they begin to mix that false religion with the true God and the worship of the one true God. And God would bring His prophets to warn them, to call them to separate themselves from the lies and the practices of the false gods that was watering down their belief in the one true God. We saw it over and over and over in the Old Testament. That couldn't happen today, could it? Of course it does. Of course it's happening today. Have you heard of the New Age movement? You've heard that talked about at all? The New Age movement has crept into many mainstream churches in America. It's really impossible to narrow down the definition of the New Age, but it's really like this vast smorgasbord of beliefs and practices. All these different ones, and you make selection of the ones you want to believe and embrace and have. Y'all remember those cafeterias, Luby's and Wyatt's Cafeteria? There's really not many of those around anymore. I don't know why they fell out of favor. I remember there was one in North Park. Sherry had a job years ago. She had a job. She was managing a local operation for a national mortgage company. And her office was in one of the offices right across from North Park Mall. Sometimes I'd meet her over there at North Park for lunch, and there was a Wyatt's Cafeteria there in North Park back a long time ago, and it was a great cafeteria. You know, you go to those cafeterias, you got that tray, and you all want roast beef and mashed potatoes today, or I don't want fish and broccoli or whatever you want. You know, you just whatever you choose, you go through the line, and they serve you, and you have a nice meal. Well, this New Age movement, it's sort of like that. You sort of like you've got your tray, and you could fill up that tray with whatever assortment meets your spiritual appetite, whatever kind of makes you feel good and makes you happy. And it's all very liberally seasoned with self-centeredness. So it's all about self. So when you go through this New Age movement of all the different choices of religions, just choose the stuff that makes me feel good, that makes me happy. It's kind of like, you might call it the habit your own way religion. That's why it has such great appeal today. And there's a lot of different branches of this New Age movement, ranging from meditation to fire walking, but they all stem from ancient false religions. Sometimes this New Age false religion that we're talking about entering into our thoughts and lives, sometimes it can happen in a very subtle manner. You know, a doctor gives you the examination. The doctor says, you know, I really think you would benefit from some wonderful yoga exercises. And you think, well, that's my doctor. He's a pretty sharp guy. He must know. So I need to check out this business and maybe get involved in yoga. Do you realize that without the leading and touch of the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, sometimes we're like we're just standing at the seashore. We don't understand where that undertow begins. And before you know it, we're carried out to sea because we don't have an understanding of where it begins. The same truth is the truth, and for us spiritually, Yoga cannot be fully extricated from its spiritual roots in Hinduism and Buddhism. I don't care what they say or how much they try to tell you it's okay, it's not. To a remarkable degree, the growing acceptance of yoga, even having yoga classes in many churches now, it really points to the retreat of biblical Christianity. It really points to the fact that people don't know the truth and they're deceived. Yoga, it begins and ends with an understanding that the body is part of a worship of a false god. By the way, Christians are not encouraged to empty our minds, or which is what yoga teaches, to empty our minds or somehow act like the body is a way of connecting to some sublime peace that we can have by what exercises we do. Most Christians seem completely unaware that yoga cannot be separated into the physical from the spiritual. In yoga, the physical is the spiritual. The physical represented a form of false god worship. Why would a believer ever want to be involved in anything that had its origins as part of a worship of a false god in a false religion? Why would any Christian want to ever be involved in that? We're called to look to Christ, aren't we? We're called to look to Jesus for all of our needs and to follow Him with all of our heart. He'll give the peace of mind we need. As far as exercising is great. But you notice, have you noticed that even when all the commercials on TV, if there's anything that has to do with your health, how many of them will show somebody doing yoga? Have you noticed that? I watched a commercial just this weekend. This lady was advertising this product that'll save your life. It's called Super Beets. Now, I'm not making fun of beets. Actually, I like pickled beets. They're pretty good. But I didn't know they were going to save my life like this folks were trying to tell me. But in this commercial about buying Super Beets, they showed this image and picture of women doing yoga. Like, hey, if you're really healthy, you're doing yoga and you're eating Super Beets. You get the connection here. It's crazy. It's crazy. We're not called to escape the consciousness of this world by achieving some elevated level of consciousness in the mind going through yoga exercises. It's from the pits of hell, and yet it's one of those lies that's crept in. It's one of those false ideas that we begin to mix with our faith in Jesus Christ. Not understanding and embracing truth has consequences. Our nation has turned its back on God and the Word of God and the truth that comes from knowing God and His Word. As a result, nationally, our media, our education, our entertainment, our government are all in lockstep with a new secular, progressive, godless lies that are destroying this country. I don't think there's any great surprise when you look at the results of the election that occurred this last week. When you look at the incredible indoctrination that is completely contrary to God and His Word that is happening all over this nation. TV stations, newspapers, news sources, education, colleges, universities, entertainment, everything in lockstep against the truth. And there are consequences when you don't have the truth. Jesus said, He said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We need a lot more freedom in this nation. I was shocked that a man could buy this platform that we know as Twitter because he wants to have more freedom of speech on Twitter. Major corporations are beginning to boycott advertising on Twitter. What a sad statement about the condition of things in America today. So many folks say all roads lead to heaven. It's going to be okay. But what did Jesus say? He had a word for us. Matthew 7:13, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Look at that image. You got the highway going to hell. You can see it there. And you got the little narrow path that breaks off going to eternal life. That image is so descriptive of the words of Christ, what He said. Also in God's Word, in the book of John 16:13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit is our guide. God's giving us the answers that we need through His Holy Spirit. And His Word, the Holy Word, is also here for us to have understanding and insight, to keep us from being deceived by the enemies of our souls. Praise God, there's other examples in the Word of God. In Psalm 119:205, Your Word, oh God, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows me the direction to go in. Psalm 119:133, direct my steps by Your Word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. We won't get it without God's Word. Psalm 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. This final PowerPoint up here. You can't recognize unsound doctrine unless you know sound doctrine. Everybody understand that? You can't recognize unsound doctrine unless you know sound doctrine. We must read, we must study, we must meditate on God's holy word, on Scripture. We must allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide. If we do that, only when we do that, then with real eyes, spiritual eyes, we will realize real lies. And only when we realize real lies will we understand to avoid it and embrace the truth that God has for us. And the truth, all that truth, is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us Jesus. That whosoever believed in Him, that He died and He rose again. He gave His life for us. By His blood we're redeemed. That whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our truth today. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Have you put your trust in Him? Oh, if you have, you have that hope. You have that assurance. You have that peace. You know there's a reason to this life. It's serving God and serving our fellow man with all of our hearts. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I praise you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Lord, you have revealed it to us so clearly. Father, our nation is deceived. This world is deceived. Lord, let us be beacons of light for the truth. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Let us not be ashamed to say the name of Jesus, to point the lost and dying world to the light of hope, to the truth for all of eternity. God, let us stand full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of your truth in our lives. Let us be bold. Let us embrace the truth, lest we be deceived ourselves. By your word, through your Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us. And let us see this truth in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.